For 9 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And 30 years of Rosie on the House.
Oh, yeah. Right here this morning, operating without Romy, who's actually up in Payson today with the kids at the Queen Creek Junior Rodeo Association. Yeah, baby. Riding Nibbles and Fat Albert and Baby Bop and having a heck of a good time with the kids. Final rodeo of the season. Going to run up there tomorrow and watch the final performance tomorrow. I'm excited about that. But right now, we're here for the next hour to take your calls and questions about your house, home, cabin, or cabin. House, home, cabin.
What is it? Castle or cabin?
Castle or cabin.
House, home. House. Hey, I invented the term.
You can say it however you want to, right?
It happens.
Yeah. You could join us by dialing 1-888-767-4340. I want to talk about garages for a little while. But before I do, I want to talk kitchens.
I have a correction of my own.
I like those better than correcting me.
All right. So Omni Pool Builders is
in Tucson.
In Tucson. Their open house is Saturday the 19th. I had my dates wrong. So we're going to post it in the newsletter on
next
the 17th.
Saturday.
17th
next
is
Saturday.
Thursday, and the newsletter will come out. But it's actually on the 19th on Saturday.
Okay. So. There, we got that straight now.
Sorry about that.
Okay, so we try and become your best friend by a multiple of different tracks. One, this Saturday morning program, every single Saturday morning, a tradition that's lasted 30 years here in the great state of Arizona. We have our website, RosieOnTheHouse.com. We write for 5 newspapers throughout Arizona. They're in weekly editions. And we also have our email newsletter that goes out every Thursday. And we've got our blogs that post every week. And our blog this week is Why Your Old Garage Door May Have to Go. So I want to talk about garage doors. But before I do, we were on the topic of kitchens. And I'd like to go back to that for just a minute. And Chris, who had a call the last hour about some ductwork in a kitchen remodel, he's in. Can we bring Chris back on there? And I'm going to ask him. I should have got his permission to do this, but I'm going to ask him some personal questions. Chris, have we got you
go
back,
ahead.
Buddy? Okay. When I'm visiting, the part of my job that I hate the most is telling people how much they're going to spend on their projects, because it always is it's the most deflating moment in our entire relationship. But when I'm talking to people about kitchens, there are 3 ways I get to a kitchen budget, and I'm going to describe them to you, and then I just want you to tell me, if I used those 3 ways at your remodel, would they have met your budget? When you're talking about a kitchen remodel, the sales price, I'm looking at the last 12 that we've done at my company. The lowest price per square foot that we have is actually a kitchen we're doing right now. We're doing a kitchen remodel. It's 170 square feet. It's $230 a square foot. That's really low. That's a great price. I have one kitchen here we did $583 a square foot. But generally speaking, what we tell people is if you take the footprint of your kitchen, you need to figure between $350 and $400 a square foot. That's all new cabinets, all new countertops, all new appliances, all new floor covering, and it almost always involves a new lighting plan. And like Chris discovered when he wanted to remove the soffit, they're having to move some ductwork. That's one way you can get to the price. The other way you get to the price is take a look at how much you're going to spend just on the cabinets. And then you need to multiply that times anywhere between 3.5 to 5. So if you're going to spend $10,000 on your cabinets, your kitchen remodel is going to be anywhere between $35,000 and $50,000. So that's the second leg of our estimate. The third leg of the estimate is go to Zillow.com and see what Zillow says your house is worth. And then you're going to spend between 10 and 15% of your total house value. So you do the square foot calculation, you do the cabinet comparison analysis, and then you take about 10 to 15% of your current home value. You triangulate those, and you come up with about what your kitchen remodel should cost. So you're talking a typical 200-square-foot kitchen in a home that's worth $400,000 that they're going to spend about $20,000 on cabinets. You're going to be at about 80 to 100. That's going to put you at 10, 15, 20% of the home value. That's about what you're going to spend. We've done kitchens complete rip outs and replace for as low as 30. But baby, once you start looking at what's available in cabinets, oh, I like that soft close feature. Oh, I like the glass uppers. I like the lighting here. I like the lighting there. It
takes a lot of self-discipline to stay there.
And then you start shopping appliances. And I mean, it's easy to dump 10 or 15 into appliances. So, Chris, in those triangulated methods of estimating, would that have put you right in the ballpark of what you're spending on your kitchen remodel? And you don't have to share the number.
You're pretty close. I think the thing that's the hardest is some of the materials that we wanted, that we were real specific with a particular material or a color, and that influenced the budget upward almost always.
It never influences downward.
No.
All right.
We ran out of options, and the only option left seemed like it was always the most expensive option as far as a particular material, whether it was a countertop or a backsplash or some other feature. But it always seemed like this is the only thing that would work, and it was either a custom item or it was just whatever was the high end. But I agree with your basic different formulations to come up with a number. That's about right.
Okay. Well, that's what I wanted to know. I appreciate you bearing with me and letting me run you through the data grill there.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Good luck. Let me know how it turns out. All right, let's go to Kevin real quick. He's been waiting patiently for a long time before we get to our topic at hand. Kevin, good morning. Welcome to Rosie on the House.
Hey, Rosie on the House. Hey, Rosie, and I appreciate you on operating as a family unit, and you guys are very entertaining. Long-time listener on Saturday morning. It just makes my morning. So I hope you have a little patience in my articulating my issue.
Yeah, where are you calling from, Kev?
I'm calling from up in Yarnell.
Okay.
I live right on the front side of where the fire was, right off of 89 here. But I have a house down in Congress.
Okay.
And what I've been doing is I've been structurally leveling some park models up here that I'm trying to remodel. And I bought a tax lien house down in Congress.
Okay.
And from what I understand, the house was moved from the Baghdad mine.
Okay.
To this spot, and it was put on pylons with 4x4 posts under it. I wonder if you ever had anything related with a house that's been moved to a site.
We've moved a couple. We actually moved a whole church up in the White Mountains. That was quite an adventure.
And that's kind of fun, that aspect of it, because I've seen it done on some mega shows or something like that. But what I did is I bought this as a tax lien, and it's a 900 square foot house sitting on a half an acre. And it sits fine, but the front corner, about the front 10 foot on the northwest corner of the house, has settled somewhat. And you can tell from standing back and looking at it. And I'm a kind of a, I do things myself. I'm kind of carpentry background. My question is it has to do with getting under there. I got two low profile 20 ton jacks, and I want to jack the foundation up to square up the foundation. And, before I start on the inside of the house, house has been sitting empty for a year.
All right.
And my question is when I get under there, I'm going to tear the living room floor up because it's right by the front door and the access is by the back door on the rear of the house, access. What I do is I tear the plywood up in the living room and I put them jacks under there with some 4x4 posts. When I jack that corner up, I'm wondering if I have to worry about the rest of the structure sitting on pylons or moving. Kind of undertaking this myself, I'm kind of worried about the, obviously the danger aspect of shifting something or having something happen.
Generally not. I like the fact that you're going to do it from the inside. I don't want you under the house, so you'll be standing in between the floor joists, and you'll be putting
That's correct. I decided that because it's just common sense.
Yes, yeah. And once you get the jacks on the main girder, perimeter girder, and you're jacking up, you'll be able to sense when to quit jacking. And you may want to quit jacking before you get back to perfectly level. At the point you're putting more stress on the building than it's worth, if you're getting close, just stop and shim it to that location and then let her back down, and you'll be fine. But you've got the right idea. You're pursuing it.
And also, Rosie, what I'm using is they have these portable little laser levels. And I've used them do the structure on these mobile homes on these park models up here, but they're only 12 foot wide by 50 foot long. This is a different beast, I feel, getting involved with this. So I do have a laser level, and I would like to set it to the rest of the house, so I can get some kind of flat platform before I remodel the inside of the house.
Well, it sounds great. Well, Congress is one of our little favorite little areas. Jennifer loves taking the horses up in that particular area. Jill's a little bit west of Congress out there in the flats. And, well, you get her out there on Peanut Boy, she's hard to keep up with. She just takes off in a cloud of dust. Kevin, good luck on the house, man. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Rosie, can one more. Okay. Is it going to affect the underpinning? There's underpinning block around the perimeter of the house. If I do an addition, will it affect the addition removing the underpinning and tying into the existing house?
Well, it depends on how the floor was framed and what if you're removing the perimeter stem wall to do an addition, then you're going to have a girder carrying those floor trusses, floor rafters, heavy enough to cover that span. So any stem wall you're removing that removes the continuous support of the exterior girder.
Back it up.
You may have
shim it up to that point.
Yeah, and you may have to sister that up with like a 4x8 or 4x12 and bolt it in place and attack it like that. Okay, man?
Yeah, this is my first experience with a house being moved like this. So I really appreciate your time, Rosie.
Kevin.
I'm glad you guys are very entertaining operating as a family unit. So thank you very much, man. I hope you have a great weekend.
All right, Kevin. And as you're tackling that project, don't hesitate. Shoot me a couple pictures over to rosieonthehouse.com. Just put in the title, in the subject line, Kevin's House in Congress. And as you're tackling it, I'll give you some feedback during the week.
That would be info at rosieonthehouse.com.
Okay, there you go. All right, we've gone a little long here. Gary D's waving his arms. Rosie, you got to go on a break now. We've got Paul and David on hold, and we still need to talk about garages. All right here at Rosie on the House.